Lecture topic, Salah in the Life of a Believer, Part 1.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala fi al-Qur'an al-Majid wa al-Furqan al-Hamid, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم من فاتته صلاة فكأنما وتر أهله وماله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, I thought I opened my topic with an incident that had happened with Imam Siraj. Perhaps many of you have heard the name of Imam Siraj, a very profound and dynamic scholar from the US. Once I had the good privilege of sharing platform with him in a conference in North America. We both were invited, a very, very profound scholar. He makes mention of one day he was sitting and researching some literature for his Jummah lecture, and he couldn't really get a topic. And while he was busy trying to research and find some topic, his little child came, 8-9-year-old child, and started disturbing him, which, you know, children would come, "Dad, what's this? What's that? Can I have a look at this?" And obviously it was becoming a bit irritating, so he needed to constructively engage the little child. We also from time to time need to shift the children, but unfortunately we don't constructively engage them. We leave them at the mercy of our enemies, and we understand how their minds are poisoned in that time while we, you know, get some form of breather to continue with our work. In the interim, the child's mind is poisoned. So his eyes fell on a magazine that was nearby, and there was a little map inside. He said, okay, that's a good opportunity. Tore the page from the magazine, made it into bits and pieces. He says, okay, my boy, there's it. Here's a puzzle for you, put the map together. Here's a puzzle for you, put the map together. So, you know, child's mind gives him some time, some opportunity to do something. The father saying, obviously, where is he going to put this map together? In that, I'll get my work done. He gave the map to the little child, and to his utter surprise, in 10 minutes, the map was done. So he comes and he says, "Dad, here's it." So he says, "But how do you know where's Africa, and where's Asia, and where's the Middle East, and where's, you know, Antarctica? How did you put this thing together?" He says, "No, no, Dad, look on the other side. On the other side, there was a picture of a human. I just had to put the legs and the hands together." He says, "My son, you've given me the topic, if man comes right, the world comes right. You've given me the topic. If the human comes right, it's a global village. It's a small world. If you and I are in place, trust me, this world is in order." Now, if we look at our life together today, we are moving and progressing materially, physically. People are super specializing. I read a nice article. Nowadays, you know, I mean, there are so many professional people here. You get this surgeon and that surgeon, what, an orthopedic, and then you get a pediatric orthopedic, and whatever else. So I read a nice article. This person said, "I'm doing a speciality." On what? He says, I'm becoming a doctor of the nose. Commonly we refer to the ENT. So he said, I asked him, "Which nostril?" Because you are super specializing. So it's continuing. We heard now in this week, I don't know if we've discovered two more new planets. It's continuing. In July, when I was flying back from Canada, from Holland, I had a very strange experience, a very strange experience. As is routine, I went in the back of the plane to perform my salah. And alhamdulillah, they are very helpful for many people that, you know, at times want to observe salah. They say, how can you observe it? If we are principled, trust me, people will respect us. People will respect you for your faith. You be conscious of your salah. As a Muslim, you got to be aware. You make sure you eat less so that you can hold your wuzu for longer periods. And if you are conscious, Allah Ta'ala will make the means accordingly available. So anyway, I went to the back of the plane to perform my salah. There was where the cabin crew would sit at the emergency exit. There was a gentleman sitting there. He seen me with my prayer mat. He stood up and he said, "Sir, you can pray." Very courteous of him. After I completed my salah, I thanked him and then we started speaking. So he asked me a little about Islam and salah, etc. I asked him, "And how about yourself? Well, what are you doing?" Obviously, he didn't have the uniform of a cabin crew, but he wasn't a regular passenger either. So he said, "I'm an animal attendant." So I said, "Now, what does that mean? On board here, 33,000 feet above sea level, what does an animal attendant do?" He said, "There's a gentleman in the business class. We are carrying three of his horses on board." I said, what? Now we talk of Burak the flying horse. I said, excuse me, what? He said, there's a gentleman in the business class, we are carrying three of his horses on board. I said, would you be kind enough to take me to see the horses? He said, by all means. So anyway, he opens up the door and I go back. And I see this. I said, subhanallah. This animal was made for men to mount on its back and move. Today, where technology has taken us, the 3,000 above sea level, we are flying with three horses. You know, when you look outside, you don't know where you are and where technology is gone. Where technology is gone. What intelligence Allah has given. So I asked him now, well, what's the wisdom of flying these horses? And by the way, what's the cost factor? $8,000 to fly one horse. I said, what's the wisdom? He said, these horses are used for handicapped children. Used for handicapped. So I can keep on saying how man is progressing. How man is progressing and he's exploring. And Allah has given him the ability and rightfully so. He's making strides in leaps and bounds. He's going way beyond. He's going. I always say, I think the present day mobile phone, if Graham Bell stands up from his grave, even he will get a fit. Even he never thought that my invention will go that far. But the technology of man is going. But like the poet said it so beautifully that, oh man, you have progressed. You have progressed. You've moved in life in every front. But the sad part of your progress is that on the way you've lost your legacy. You've lost your morals and your values. That really when you look at what you lost to what you, for what you gain, at times you wonder if it is enviable or not. At times you wonder if it is enviable or not, what you've gained, but at the cost of losing your morals and values. I recall once when I was in North America at a conference, and the famous Pakistani cricketer Imran Khan was also present, and he spoke there. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Al-hikmatu dhallatul mu'min," that wisdom is the lost item of a believer wherever he finds it, he's most deserving. And these words of his really captured my heart, and I respect him for these particular sentiments. There were a lot of scholars, and there were many international, you know, celebrities, high-profile people as well. So he spoke after a few scholars. I spoke prior to him, and there was someone else, and then he came on. And he came on, and he said, listen, folks, I'm not a scholar, and I don't want to upstage the scholars. All I want to tell you is that I studied in a circular environment in the initial stages of my life, and I must confess, in doing so, I lost my faith and my culture. And I'm only here to tell you of my blunders so that you don't repeat my mistakes. Those were his words. He said, I won't lie, there was a time in my life I debated, is there an Allah or not? Until I didn't conquer my belief system, I conquered nothing of my life. Till I didn't mature this in my life, that listen, there is a being, there is accountability, he is in charge. As long as I remain in this dilemma and these crossroads, is there or isn't there? Is he present or not? As long as I debated this, I made no progress in my life. And he said, this was my mistake. I'm only here to tell you that this is the wrong idea. Don't do it. Don't repeat my mistake. So I really admired him by his own confession and admission. He said that in that circular environment, I lost both my faith and my culture. I lost both. So the unfortunate part is that today, unfortunately, we've lost it. We've lost our faith. We've lost our deen. I mean, you read the papers today, today's papers, what it shows, that schools are flooded with drugs. 9-year-old children have now access to drugs and various forms of ecstasies that are on the market that are so available, so accessible, and that have destroyed a generation. So we've come into a new society. We've come into a, last month I was invited at Rhodes University by the MSA, Grahamstown. And they had an Islamic awareness week, so they invited few scholars, and I was also invited. And then they had an open session for both Muslims and non-Muslims. They invited some students that were journalists, etc., on Islam. And I spoke about general ethics regarding, you know, universal principles that govern all divine faiths. And I spoke about the tragedy of today. Like we say, we are dealing with new medical conditions. We are dealing with new scientific problems. We are dealing with a new generation of orphans who are orphans in the presence of parents. There is a new definition to orphans today. There is a new definition to orphans who enjoy the presence of their biological parents, yet are denied the nurturing of those parents, are denied the love and the passion of those parents. So that's a new definition of orphans in our society. So what I want to really speak about today, we know the auspiciousness of this night, and we know the significance of this night, I have spoken here many times, and so have you heard me and other scholars. But I really want to focus my topic on one particular thing, and that is Salah. Salah, as we understand, is the greatest focus of this night. The greatest focus of this night revolves and centers around Salah. In the 18th juz, the opening verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. For the various injunctions that Allah had sent in the Quran, Allah sent Jibreel to inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that listen, fasting has been ordained upon you as it was ordained on the nations that preceded you. So it's no new injunction. When zakat was ordained, Allah ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and so was the procedure for the respective injunctions. But we find a very new approach is applied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to the aspect of salah. Allah says, don't go down to him, tell him, I'm calling him here. I'm calling him here. You know, sometimes a person phones you and he says, I need to tell you, then he tells you. And sometimes he says, listen, I need to come down. He says, no, you can discuss it telephonically. He says, no, I need to come and speak to you. I need to come and speak to you. So for salah, Allah said that call him here. Then look at the procedures adopted by Allah Ta'ala to invite his beloved. Allah said, Jibreel, you go and receive him. You go and bring him, nobody else. When you're expecting a guest of a high stature, then obviously, you are going to have high profile people receiving them at the airport. As soon as they exit, then they are in a VIP lounge. There is a police presence around them in relation to their profile and the dignity that they enjoy. Allah Ta'ala sends Jibreel. At what time? After the Isha Salah was performed. Where was the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? In the house of Hani radiallahu anha. What is the appearance? The roof splits. The scholars explained the wisdom of this was, it was an indication to the splitting of the heart. The roof splits. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, فَأَتَانِ آتٍ. One person came. فَاسْتَيْقَذَنِي. And then he tapped me. فَأَيْقَذْدُ. So I got up. I looked at him. He said, it is Jibreel. He said, oh Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah has sent me to call you. I said, Jibreel, where? He said, to the heavens. I said, what happens there onwards? He says, Allah wants to meet with you and Allah wants to have a discussion with you. This animal was brought. يُقَالُ لَهُ الْبُرَّاقُ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, it is given the name of Burraq. كَانَتِ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ تَرْكُبُهُ مِنْ قَبْلِي. All the prophets that preceded me used to also mount on this conveyance. What a blessed conveyance. What a blessed conveyance. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told me to mount. I mounted onto it. And then, by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time is in the control of Allah ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ, everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how, just we find in this world, a person that is in comfort and luxury, how quick a night passes for him, and yet a person who is sleeping in a hospital, in a clinic, how long that night passes for him. In the very same way, in the duration, in a short portion of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands this to happen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he travels. From here, the journey, there are a lot of things that have happened, and I don't want to go into, I want to get to the focus of salah. Really, brothers, when I see these numbers, it brings so much joy to me, and you are not pleasing me. Imagine that Allah for whom you are pleasing, how happy won't he be by these numbers? It's not like a customer coming to my shop, that my article is going to be sold. That today you are coming here, I feel my namaz is better. No, it makes no difference to my life. In the sense that I have an obligation, you have an obligation. But the fact that the Muslims congregate and converge in a united spirit, transmit such a warmth, what brotherhood, what love, what understanding, what a casual interaction, so much muhabbat and understanding. You long for it, you long for it. And you miss its presence after the crescent of Shawwal is sighted. So can you imagine the joy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can you imagine the joy of Allah? And again, let me remind myself and you that we ought to be reminded repeatedly. Allah says, Ya ibadi, Ya ibadi, لن تبلغوا نفعي فتنفعوني ولن تبلغوا ذري فتذروني. Let me remind you, I am at my glory. I am at my greatest. I cannot be greater. Your perpetual, continuous, collective worship can't make me greater. Your denial cannot decrease my greatness in any way. If you worship me, good luck to you. If you choose not to, tough luck to you. You've never benefited Allah, you've never harmed him, and you will never able to. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've said this before. Every other interaction in this world, there is a dual obligation. If your boss shows you a point, you can show him back. If the teacher shows the student a point, the teacher can show the student a point. If the children have an attitude towards the management can have an attitude towards the children. It continues, the president with the subject with the rulers. We'll show you who we'll vote for. But understand, brothers, when it is coming to Allah, Allah is an independent being. The obligation is only one-sided. That is our obligation to Him. He is totally independent. إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. In fact, in one riwayat, Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, Allah, if the entire creation denies you, what will you do? Allah said, I will release one beast that I have created, one creature. What will this creature do? It will swallow humanity in its entirety. Allah, where is this creature? It's grazing in one of my meadows. Allah, where is this meadow in my knowledge? فِي مَرْجٍ مِّمْ مُرُوجِ. It is grazing in my meadows. إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Tell them, if you and humanity in its entirety denies me, I am independent of your worship. What does Allah say? لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ وَحَيَّكُمْ وَيَابِسَكُمْ وَرَتْبَكُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ أَفْجَرِ قَلْبِ رَجُلٍ. If the living and the deceased, the young and the old, the learned and the illiterate, the wealthy and the poor, develop the attitude of the devil. Afjar means the most wicked human. مَا نَقَصَ ذَلِكَ مِن مُلْكِ شَيْئًا. I still remain in sovereignty. Allah is the only being who is kind even when He snatches. Every other man, when He snatches, you want an explanation. That sounds cruel. Wallahi, He is kind when He gives, He is kind when He takes. What did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam console that sahabi by saying? إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ وَلَهُ مَا أَعْطَى وَكُلٌّ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. To Allah belongs what He gave you, and to Allah equally belongs what He took from you. And everything has a stipulated time. The period of your son had expired, hence Allah took him back. فَلْتَصْبِرْ وَلْتَحْتَسِبْ. Hope for reward and put your reliance in Allah. So Allah is kind in every move of His. In fact, today I had a very, I don't know, strange incident or an eye-opener from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I often say that the betrayal of man makes you understand the benevolence and the kindness of Allah. Sometimes you need those kicks from humans to tell you how kind your Allah is. Otherwise you don't learn how kind He is. You know, you have an interaction with any human. I sit and humbly I say this, counseling marital problems every day. And you'll find when there's infidelity between a woman towards her husband or a husband towards the wife, repeatedly I have heard this, the woman will say, I have given him two chances. If I find his phone for the third time that he is guilty of something wrong, then finish. I want this marriage to be broken up and it must be dissolved. Enough is enough. I think two chances are enough. And so would the man say towards the wife. Now, at times a man could be sincerely trying to repent, but for whatever reasons he succumbs to his weakness and he betrays again and he commits the wrong. But that woman is adamant. That man is adamant. Now this attitude of man makes you understand that Allah doesn't have a cut-off point. Allah doesn't have a cut-off. You know, it is when you have this attitude with man and you realize that, you know what, after two times my wife said it's over. After three times my boss said it's over. After one failure the institution said, you know, you'll be thrown out. That's the time you realize that, Ya Allah, how long I've been sinning against you, but you haven't given me a cut-off point. You haven't given me a cut-off point. The other thing of man is what I learned today, and it made me appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that many a times man misunderstands you, misinterprets you, and then judges you on that misinterpreted view. So you haven't said that, but the wrong thing was implied, or the wrong thing was, it was misconstrued. And you are held accountable for the perceived judgment. Not for what was actually articulated, but for rather what was misconstrued. You are held responsible. That is the sad thing. You know, today we find the hostile climate against the Muslims. We all along knew the law was innocent until proven guilty. Today the law has changed, unfortunately, for Muslims, that guilty until proven innocent. That is the sad reality of life today. But really, Allah, He never misunderstands you. I mean, just look at men. Sometimes you have to be so sensitive that you don't intend wrong, but wrong is implied. You are incorrectly implicated. You are incorrectly implicated. And then there is a backlash to those implications. And you have to go and say, you know what, I have to clear my name. I'm not the same person. I'm not that person. This was abuse. It was the wrong person with my identity, etc. Look at the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're dealing with a kind being that never misunderstands you. That is why he then asks you in a tone that you need to appreciate it in Arabic. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ My Allah says, my servants, where are you leaving me and going? Tell me, where are you going? You know, a mother tells a child, where are you running, my bachu? Where are you going? Allah is saying, where are you going? You see today what has happened to the youth. Amongst the events that the Prophet ﷺ seen, which will make every hair on your body stand on the night of Mi'raj, he seen people suffering who were involved in zina. He seen a person sitting who had delicious meat, and on the other side there were raw meat next to him. This man, very strange, very foolish, he ignored the tasty meat, and he went for that meat that was rotten, that gave off a foul smell. He asked Jibreel, so strange, so unusual, so peculiar, beautiful, delicious, tasty meat, and the man goes for the thing that is giving off an odor. He said, this is that man of your ummah whom Allah has given a loyal, faithful partner that is pure and wholesome, but he ignores her and he goes for immoral, unchaste woman. The other day, one brother went out in the path of Allah, a friend of mine. He says, Maulana, what must I tell you? There was a youngster that came out at the age of 20. He joined the Jamaat for 1 week. He says, he told me, my friend is telling me, he said, this has been the longest week in my life that I haven't made zina. It's the longest period in my life that I haven't made zina. 1 week is the longest period in my life that I haven't made zina. 1 week is a long period for an average youth. For an average youth, unfortunately today, that he has not made zina. You go and see where the youth are. Nonetheless, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes. He arrives at Baytul Muqaddas, that blessed land. From certain aspects, Baytul Muqaddas enjoys a unique privilege which is exclusive to the land of Aqsa, and not even the other holy sites enjoy it. And it was the combination of the galaxy of all the prophets. So there isn't any other location which enjoys the privilege of the congregation of all the prophets at one time like Masjid Al-Aqsa does. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I tied my burraq, I entered into the masjid, subhanallah. You know, they say, wow, what a presence. Ah, mind-boggling, he entered and there were cameras. And you've seen sometimes the statesman, sometimes the president, and their cars in front and behind, and it is lit up and there is coverage and there's cameras, and it's given a presence. I don't have the adequate vocabulary to describe or to possibly endeavor to describe a combination of such spirituality that when you look on your right, it's Ibrahim Khalilullah. When you look on your left, it is Yusuf, whom my Nabi said in the riwayat of Bukhari, that the beauty that Allah gave to the entire world, half of it was exclusively given to Yusuf. The other half was distributed in the whole world from the time of Adam till the last baby. Then you're talking of Miss World. Huh? Can you imagine the beauty of Yusuf? What did my mother Aisha said? She said, they seen Yusuf, they cut their hands. If they seen my Muhammad, they would have cut their hearts. They would have cut. The only difference was, Akhi Yusuf Sabih wa ana Malih. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yusuf had striking beauty. You looked at him, you were captured. And my beauty is, the closer you get, the more Allah unveils. Hence the beauty of Muhammad seen to the eye of Abu Bakr was not seen by any other human. What Abu Bakr seen of my Nabi, what he seen, and the closer you get, the more Allah unveils. But again, like I said, my brother, I need to wash my eyes, you need to wash your eyes. We don't have to wash it with solo liquid and all these other cleansing, liquids. We have to wash it with morality. When we'll wash it with morality, Allah will show us. Allah will show us the beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that sahaba seen it. Aisha radiallahu anha said, wallah, this was a physical thing that had happened, that it was dark. I was busy sewing and my needle fell down. I could not find it. It was late night. There was no oil to light the lantern. Nabi Sassam came in. The glow on his face was so radiating, I found my needle instantly. That was the glow. If that was the external beauty, what was the internal beauty? Today this world is desperate for this character. Study the incident of Luqman alayhi salam. I was reflecting over these verses of the Quran. When Allah spoke about the advice of Luqman to his son, Allah spoke about the oneness of Allah. Allah gave it one verse. Ya bunayya la tushrik billah. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Oh my son, don't ascribe partners with Allah. That is oppression. Oh my son, be kind to your parents. Oh my son, but when it came to character, Allah quoted 6 advices of Luqman. When it came to acts of worship, Allah gave it one verse. Don't ascribe partners with Allah. Establish salah. Invite. But when it came to character, يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَاغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ أو my son, establish salah. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ advocate good. وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ prevent evil. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ and persevere. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ if you've done this, you're a man. وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ don't frown when you meet people. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا how dare you walk arrogantly. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ Allah hates those that are arrogant. You see the youth of today, arrogance dripping from every organ of his body, flashing. The riwayat of Bukhari, Nabi alayhi salam said, one man was standing, he was admiring himself, he was praising himself, he was trumpeting himself, he was impressed, he was just looking at himself and praising. Allah caused the earth to split and then he started sinking in the ground. How many youth I have seen who actually show off with a courtesy car? You know, I seen the man. He goes to pick up the car. I'm watching him. He drives an ordinary Toyota like mine. He gets a courtesy beard. He jumps in that car. He starts splashing, you know, flashing with that car. Somebody makes a comment, mashallah, nice car, make dua. What dua must we make? Tell the man it's not your car. Nabi alayhi salam said he was arrogantly standing. He was arrogantly standing. The earth split and he started sinking. لا تمشي في الأرض مرحا. Oh my son, don't be arrogant. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكْ Have a moderate pace when you walk. وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ Lower your tone when you speak. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ Don't raise your voice. Don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant. My brother, where will arrogance? What was the crime of the devil? Was it not arrogance? Was it not arrogance? What was the arrogance? You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about pride. So someone said, now, I love being very meticulous in my dressing. I'm a very tip-top person in my dressing and I take pride in it. Is that pride? He said, no, no, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ Allah is beautiful and Allah loves beauty. But after you are meticulous to consider yourself superior and others inferior, that's pride. So to dress in a particular garb is not pride. But then to feel superior because of the brands that I wear. Because of the brands that I wear. What? Nobody is perfect. I seen this here. The person is wearing this here. Nobody is perfect. And at the back he got there, I'm nobody. Today these messages, you know, it has become difficult. You take your child to buy, wallah, it has become difficult. First you find the inanimate objects. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَدْخُلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بَيْتًا This makes my hair stand. People who I feel are pious. But you go in their house, there are pictures and images displayed. One brother called me for a program. He said, Maulana, I've arranged everything, give the talk. I went in his house. Allah be my witness. I'm no pious person. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If it wasn't a sin to mention my sins, my brother, I would have mentioned my sins. But the Prophet of Allah said, mentioning your sins is also a sin. And I've got enough sins, I don't have to mention it. I went there. When I seen the pictures, the images, the dolls, the teddy, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. I actually felt uncomfortable. Mickey Mouse, I don't know what and what. And I'm talking of people that are conscious of Allah. You study, there's a kitab called sinless, pleasureless sins. Pleasureless sins. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا Allah says, what is wrong with you that you even disobey me when you don't get pleasure in that disobedience? My brother, you listening to music, maybe I can't justify any sin. But you can't tell me it's supposedly soothing. You are abusing your sight, supposedly. In reality, no sin is soothing. But I ask you, by keeping these inanimate objects, what pleasure are you getting in your house? By backbiting, what pleasure? By dropping your trouser below your ankle? By shaving your beard, what pleasure? Allah is asking, have you shown me such dislike that you choose to disobey me even when you don't get pleasure? So you are out to show me a point you want to disobey. When you are getting fake pleasure, I can maybe relate. There's no fake pleasure. لا تدخل الملائكة بيتا فيه كلب ولا سورة The angels do not enter. Jibreel comes to the door of my Nabi. He stands outside. My Nabi says, come inside. He says, O Muhammad of Allah, you are unaware. A dog has slipped into your house. We angels can't enter when there are dogs. But today your mind is the inquisitive mind. You want logic, you want explanation for everything in deen. And anything else of this world, you blindly follow. So when we tell you, or Allah tells you, we are only conveying Allah's message, don't do this. You want explanation. But for your health, my brother, you ask the doctor, can I eat this here? Is this fine? He hasn't told you anything. But your consciousness of your physical well-being prompts you to ask him, what do you take and what do you abstain? Ya Allah openly tells you, take this, avoid this. You ask why and how. You ask why and how. Then when we see the repercussions, why cry? So what I'm saying is, today, you know, you look at these adverts, what it is promoting. These things are having an effect on the mind. These things are on the subconscious mind. It is driving a message to that child. I've said this here before, you look at these advertisements. Person walks out, the first thing, he's a young boy, he's provoked by evil. The first thing that meets his mind is, wanna flirt. Now can you imagine a man, a young boy in the prime of his life, that's the first message. And now he's debating it. He's debating, and just then he gets an SMS from Vodacom. Online. And the next thing that meets his eyes, just do it. Just do it. That is why Islam is that beautiful religion, that when it made something forbidden, it made equally forbidden those things that lead to the crime. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Allah didn't say don't fornicate. Allah said don't even come close to immorality, never mind fornication. Don't even come close to immorality, never mind fornication. I met a brother. He says, I always used to wonder why the scholars are harping that you must have segregation and you must separate. He says, now I've realized it. I thought I was a father of four. I've realized I'm a father of three. The fourth one is my nephew. My brother is the father of the child and I'm not the father of the child. He says, that is how sad it is. Marana, how can I live with this woman? My own brother has betrayed me. My own brother. Now what did my Nabi said? Alhamu al-maut. The close relatives, that is death. That is death. Why? Because they got house permission. You don't doubt them, and yet the element of lust exists. So my Nabi said, they are death. Now you sit and wonder why and how. Imagine on the occasion of Arafat, when my Nabi is mounted on his blessed conveyance, and behind him is Fadl ibn Abbas, and Imra'atun min Khath'am comes, a woman from the Khath'am tribe, and Nabi alayhi salam takes the face of Fadl ibn Abbas, and he turns it in that way. My brother, how much I am speaking, Allah forgive, till today. Tomorrow there will be a function here, and you'll find there'll be no segregation. May Allah reward those brothers that segregate. You segregate, my brother, your daughter will see the happiness. It won't make joy to my life. You don't segregate, Allah's Nabi's curse is there. It's not my blessings or it's not my curse. And rest assured, the presence of the pious of the entire world, the living and the deceased, the collective presence cannot undo the curse of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you might soothe yourself. That has become the notion today, you know. You have a table of ulama. You have a table of some high profile people. So there's, you know, you look that side, you think your jannat is made. You look that side, you think, okay, your marriage is made. You look that side, your catering is done. The presence of the pious of the world, the living and the deceased, can't undo the curse of Muhammad. Nay, let me tell you, إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. The battle of Hunayn, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is present. Allah's one order was disobeyed, not even physically, but internally. What happened? Their vision went on their numbers. In His presence, Allah's help was lifted. In His presence, Allah's relation with His creation is through His deen. He has made this emphatic. Qul, say to them, مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. I got no time for you, and I have no regard for you, and you hold no value if you don't have time for me. That cow is good if it milks, otherwise slaughter or send to the abattoirs. What are we not, we nursing that cow because of milk. But if there's no milk, what are we going to do with that cow? That's a liability. As long as it's giving milk, we will invest, we will spend, we will inject, we'll do everything. But now, when there is no milk coming now, get rid of that cow. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Say to them, my Lord has no regard for you if you don't obey Him. فَقَدْ كَذَّبْتُمْ فَسَوْفَ يَكُونُ الْإِزَامَ. Anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes to Baytul Muqaddas. I was speaking about that. The presence of Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Ya Subhan. You know, they say you commence your descent. I haven't yet commenced my ascending also probably. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I tied it. I entered into that masjid. What a galaxy of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. What a pleasant sight. What a wonderful opportunity. And how nice if that can become alive in our homes. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, the best sight is you come home, your wife is reading Quran, your one son is making wudu, the other one is in prostration. That is a sight. You're walking into a house which is an institution. Al-ummu madrasatun. The mother is an institution. You've made her, you've made a generation. But alas, unfortunately today, the reality is absolutely different. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, very modestly, I went in. I then performed 2 rakat salah. The adhan was called out, iqamat was given, and I sat down patiently. And then Jibreel alayhi salam came and tapped me, and he said that all the anbiya have gathered here, and it is only you who can lead such a congregation. It is only you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who can lead such a congregation. I can cry with joy. I can cry if I try, but I cannot even endeavor to imagine or to encapsulate what must have been this emotional get-together that Jibreel stands up, the noblest of angels, the chief of angels, on the land of Aqsa, in the presence of 124,000 anbiya, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes forward and he leads the salah. After the salah was over, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, very modestly, I sat down and I met with the various prophets. Jibreel introduced me to each Nabi. I had a long discussion. The hadith is very long and I don't want to digress in this year. ثم أتي بالمعراج. Then I mounted onto my burraq and we moved. We traveled till we got in one riwayat of Bidaya Ibn Kathir. I read, يقال له إسماعيل. I met with an angel by the name of Ismail. As we got close to the heavens, أتي بالمعراج. The literal meaning of mi'raj means a ladder, a step ladder. This ladder was brought. Nabi alayhi salam says, in one riwayat it comes, perhaps you have observed the words of the hadith that a dying person's gaze turns up. His gaze is turning to this ladder. His gaze is turning upwards towards the angel. If it is a noble person, Allah make us amongst those fortunate people. Nabi alayhi salam says, when his soul comes out, the angel wraps it up. And the angel then, kafanum min akfanil jannah, hanutum min ahnatil jannah. Before you wrap it in your local kafan, he wraps it in the divine kafan. Before you sprinkle the scent of this world, he sprinkles the itar of jannah. And then the soul is taken up. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you will notice, and I have myself seen that the gaze of the dying person going up. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it goes up to this ladder. And this was the very ladder that was brought for me. It was very unique. I got onto it. You know, when you have your guest, then you send your own car. You send your son will receive him. You don't send your driver then. And then he doesn't go with a Venture. Then he goes with a BM. It's my visitor. He'll go in my car with my son. And I'm in constant contact, he will receive. It is my Allah, calling that human for whom Allah created this world. Calling that human on whom Allah revealed this Quran. Calling that human that when he got to him, Allah initiated the discussion. As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-nabiyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah initiated the salam. Allah said, salam on my Habib. Salam on his family. Nabi alayhi salam says, this was brought. I got onto it and I climbed. I came to the heavens. The door was knocked. As I entered, with me was Jibreel. The first guy I met with Adam alayhi salam. On the right, I seen beautiful faces. When I used to look there, or Adam used to look there, he used to become happy. He used to become excited. When he would glance to the left, then he would become disturbed. He would become perturbed. I said, Jibreel, you want to explain? He said, those are destined for paradise. These are destined for hellfire. Every time Adam looks at his offspring, every time Adam looks at the offspring that are, وَأَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينِ. We read in Surah Waqia, Allah said, the people on the right. Do you know who are the people on the right? And then Allah describes the condition of Jannat. لَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ. From the fruit that they want. From the birds that they want. The fruit that they want. لَا مَقْتُوعَةٍ وَلَا مَمْنُوعَةٍ. Not restricted to any season. And there's no limited quantity. There's no limited, unlimited. It comes in abundance. وَفَاكِهَةٍ مِمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ وَلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ وَحُورٌ عِينٌ كَأَمْثَالِ اللُّؤْلُؤِ الْمَكْنُونَ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا تَأْثِيمًا. Allah says they will never mind see sin or see pain. They won't even hear pain. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ حَسِيسَهَا. They won't even hear the whisper of the dwellers of hell, because that also is traumatic. to see the pain. Sometimes you're going for a holiday. You're excited. On the way, you see an accident. Nothing has happened to you. Your car is intact. Everybody is well. But just the sight of a tragedy itself is painful. Half your, you know, that whole joy, it just collapses there and there. Jannat is the promise of the pinnacle of joy. If you hear the moan of a Jahannami or you hear the groan of a sinner, that is also pain. And Allah has promised to save you from every pain. True happiness can only happen in Jannat. Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ says, when I look on my right, I seen them. When I looked on my left, this was the condition. We then move on. We go to the second heaven. The door is knocked. Again, if you look in Riyadh al-Salihin, Imam Nawawi speaks about this here. Imam Nawawi speaks about this incident, and he speaks about the etiquettes of knocking on the door, and he substantiates it with this narration. The Prophet ﷺ, Jibreel knocked on the heaven door. He knocked on the door and the door was open. The door was open and then he ascended. Can we imagine the privilege? Then people are, you know, going to space and it's considered such an opportunity. Once I remember I was in London at Heathrow and I was waiting for a connection and then I seen a plane landed and I seen everybody going with their cameras. So I said, no, they're carrying on like it's a Wright Brothers plane that landed. No, first time, what's the excitement? So I said, no, it was the Concorde. So, mashallah, you know, everybody is, wow, what a thing. What in it? Can we imagine, you know, words can't describe this honor here. Person speaks with a little minister in this world, a small minister, you know, maybe from some small country in Africa, you can't find it on the map properly. That also is such an honor for him, such a privilege for him. And you see the hadith of Tirmidhi, Nabi alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, ya qasamtu salata bayni wa bayna abdi. Allah said, Salah, I've distributed it between me and my servant. When my servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then I say from my glory and my throne, Hamidani Abdi, my servant is praising me. Then my servant says, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Allah only you are kind, Allah only you are merciful. Then Allah says, Majjadani Abdi, my servant has glorified me. Then my servant says, Maliki Yawmiddin, the owner of the day of judgment. The scholars say Allah is just not the judge, Allah is the owner. When He owns, then He can excuse someone. Someone can be acquitted. Someone can be, you know, taken to task. Someone's file can be closed and he can be forgiven. Because He owns it. He is not a judge that is bound by the constitution. He is the owner. He decides the constitution. So He will pardon the sinners and He will take the pious to task. That is His choice. He reserved the authority. La yus'al amma yaf'al wa hum yus'alun. If there's any one verse that conveys the absolute majesty of Allah, it's this verse. Allah says, I will do what I want, when I want, how I want. Nobody questions me. And whatever you do, you will be taken to task. Allah says, majjadani abdi. Then my servant says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Allah, I only worship you and I only ask you for help. Allah says, Hada baini wa baina abdi. This is an agreement between me and my servant. Wali abdi ma sa'al. And for my servant is what he asked. Let him ask and I will give it. So salah, I have divided it between me and my servant. I have made it half between me and my servant. I went to the second heavens. The door was knocked. The etiquette. You read in the tafsir, the ulama says, there are three injunctions that have been omitted today. One is the etiquette of knocking and entering into the house. The etiquette of istidhan. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, I don't know why. It is as if the entire ummah has deliberately become negligent about these injunctions. People have just overlooked it. People have overlooked the obligations and the etiquettes of entering a house. At every door, Jibreel is coming, sent by Allah. Who is the guest? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he's still knocking the door. Now we say, who is it? Don't ask, man. Just open. Don't ask and just open. No. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting, and there was a young boy on the right, and there was someone senior on the left, and the etiquette is to give it to the right, but out of the seniority, he wanted to give it to the person on the left. He asked the little boy, consent, can I give it to that elderly man? Who's he asking consent from? A young child. This is our deen. Our deen has given recognition to the senior and the junior. Whenever the fruit of a new season was brought, what was his dua? Allahumma barik lana fi thamarina, wa barik lana fi sa'ina, wa barik lana fi madinatina. Today if somebody we've seen on the road, they sell in also. Unfortunately, you know what, let me take 10 bags, I can sell it that side. I make myself 10 rand each. That's why half the sweetness of that oranges are gone there. Half the sweetness is gone there. Nabi alayhi salam said, Allah, this is the first fruit of our season. Please bless it. Allah bless all the corn. Allah bless all the grain. And Allah, whatever we're going to harvest, bless it. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, call the youngest boy here. Whoever was playing, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to bring the youngest boy. He said, right, you're going to start off with the fruit of the season. Hi, where is this deen? Where is this deen? We want to harp to the world. Muhammad was the greatest human. And then we don't want to look like him. Never mind, act like him. What contradiction? What contradiction? My brother, I told you, and you know better, the biggest punishment goes for the crime of treason. You say you are part of our state. You hold our nationality. And then you betray us. He's a foreigner. He's a foreigner. He never claimed loyalty to the state. But you're a local citizen. You hold our identity. You hold our citizenship and you stab us. You say Muhammad was the greatest human. Yet you suffer the complex of his beard, not him. You say his wives were the best. Yet you unveil your woman, not others. You say the Quran was the greatest. Yet you ignore it, leave the kafir. So we are guilty of treason. That's the biggest crime. Jibreel Amin knocks on the door. The Prophet says, I met with Isa and I met with, in the second sky, I met with Isa and Yahya. On the third sky, I met with Yusuf. On the fourth sky, I met with Idris. On the fifth sky, I met with Harun. On the sixth sky, I met with Musa. And in one riwayat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Musa, I passed by his grave also. I passed by his grave and I seen he was performing salah in his grave. In one riwayat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, on this journey, I passed the grave of Musa. I seen Musa performing salah in his grave. There's great virtue to Musa. Nabi Alayhi Salam said under this verse, the riwayat of Bukhari, وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ The trumpet will be blown. فَسَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ Everybody will instantly collapse.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.